Okay, the Finance and Facilities Committee meeting of the School District, Board of Education, School District 41 is now open. The first item on the agenda is to review and approve the minutes from the January 3rd, 2011 meeting. If you have any questions or corrections, we can discuss these at this time.
I didn't have any corrections.
Okay, so then the minutes will show as being approved by the committee and they'll be posted to the district website. The next item of business is the 2011-2012 student fees. The recommendation, administrative recommendation at this time is to not increase the basic fees or the activity fees for the 11-12 school year. But if there are some pass-through items that we, like calculators, things that we buy that we do have an increased cost to, that would be passed through to the families because we sell those to families as a convenience. But the basic fees and activity fees will remain as they have been. Any questions on this item?
The basic fees and the activity fees, what, just as a refresher, what are they going to support? What do they support?
They support the district in general as a revenue source to support the district in general. They are not itemized as specific things.
Okay.
You know, like classroom supplies. It could be used for anything.
General
it goes
supplies.
Into the general fund.
Right. The general educational program.
Okay.
And the activity fees are simply a fee to participate in an extracurricular sport.
Or
afternoon, like a...
Technically clubs and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's, why is it a sliding scale?
So that if you have a student that participates in four different activities during the year, they're not paying $30 for each activity. They pay $30 for the first one, then they'll pay $15 for the next one, $5, $75. So it's to acknowledge the fact that we have students that like to participate in a lot of activities. And with the activity fee attached to that, we want to make sure it's somewhat cost-effective for the child to participate.
And then is the fifth activity no charge?
Basically.
Okay.
Basically.
Are there students that are in more than four activities?
I'm not thinking so because I'm just trying to think of the different activities and the time of year and the different conflicts they may have between a sports activity and a performing arts activity type situation. I mean, we have some other things that have, like, Hadley Wildcats, which is not an activity that's charged, but, you know, so a lot of students participate in those, which are also after school or before school.
Intramurals. Intramurals.
Intramurals is not charged. These are more or less for the interscholastic type of things where, you know, band and orchestra, they are charged a fee. All the sports are charged a fee. So, if you do, I just keep on forgetting which one it is. You do the fall sport, then you got basketball, and then you have the spring sport. There's some overlap in there, so I don't know which of the student could actually do all three. They could do girls softball because that's very early, but then I don't know if they could actually fit a fourth sport in there because of just how the overlapping sports calendars may be.
Okay.
The
genesis of these was a while back. I'm just wondering if, did we increase them last year?
No.
So presumably we have an increase in costs every year. So are we not raising the fees for any particular reason? I mean, are we trying to kind of keep the sting down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We analyzed the fees 3 years ago. And we made a slight increase in the cost at that time. Said we would revisit it every 3 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second year of that,
I believe so.
That raise. So, and, you know, we had no intention of bringing something forward just based on the economic condition of the community right now. Was it 3 years? It seems like it was. Maybe it was four, and this is the third year.
It may have been 4 years, and I think we just, because of the economy of late, we just more or less decided to hold them. You can increase them like a minimal percentage each year, just so you're kind of keeping pace with something.
Right.
You don't want to get to the point where all of a sudden you have to do a huge increase, and I don't think we ever would, because this is, it's a fee, but it's not really, it's just a general fee. It's mm-hmm. a basic fee. It's not really, when you get into the high school, you start getting into lab fees, and you know, you can get into a lot of cost accounting that way, but, so.
Now, if we said, when we said we were going to check every third year, is that a policy issue?
No.
It's a procedural?
It's just something we would do internally. Just, and what we check is we check the surrounding districts to see, okay, what are your fees at? Where are you at? What do they include? You know, what type of fees do you have? Some districts actually have a technology fee. Some districts have, you know, they call it a book fee, a book round fee. I mean, it varies from district to district.
Would it make sense to put some sort of motion together and say we're just going to bump it out for another year, because we're supposed to look at it every third year?
We look at every year, but what we said a few years ago in finance committee was, let's, whatever we're going to do, let's keep it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can look at it again to see whether or not we need to raise it. So it's really just an internal practice. But we look at fees every year, mm-hmm. and if we felt for some reason we needed to step out of that three-year practice for any number of reasons, I wouldn't want to be tied to a procedure that would say you can only raise your fees every 3 years.
Okay, so there's nothing... So if next year we wanted to raise the fees and it was outside of that cycle,
right.
we could still do it. It's
right.
not, there's nothing binding. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Is there, you mentioned other districts have technology fees. So did we consider that? I know Mike put together a technology kind of plan mm-hmm. going forward. And obviously, we want to roll out more technology. Did we, fiscally challenged. Was there any discussion around internally around tech, imposition of a technology fee for that, or
the concept of calling it a basic fee and not really and not identifying it as a specific item allows the flexibility that the source of the revenue is not matched to any specific expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes by naming it, You can put limits.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just another way of looking at it.
Right.
And some districts have found themselves getting into that cycle of, we call it a technology fee and then accounting for it on the other side,
mm-hmm.
which can sometimes tie your hands more than actually give you the revenue increase, the revenue that you're looking for to boost a program. And when you're looking at what that infusion would be, can you really capture it? Can you capture a large enough amount of money by adding another fee or identifying it as a fee?
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, you can't, because it would have to be almost maybe the same thing as your basic fee. So, and are you going to double your fees to get that infusion? I mean, again, it's something to be looked at. But I have found that as you identify fees with a specificity of either attaching them to a program or something like that, it may become more of a restraint than it is to actually get you where you want to go.
So are the differences then between, say, elementary and junior high, 75 to 115, is that just kind of a reflection of the additional
expenses
that we, I mean,
mm-hmm.
to educate a junior high school student costs us more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
In facilities and materials.
Textbooks that we buy, that they use, curriculum materials that they, you know, that we have available.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, not on the agenda, but a little aside, you mentioned funding. Has there been any pearls dropped out of the mouths of Springfield about state funding?
No. Well, if you think about what's been happening in Springfield over the course of the last couple of weeks, the funding right now is what they're going to do is sort of at the bottom of the list until they know whether they're being funded or what their funding will be, whether the tax hike. And then, of course, the most...
I know they had the cigarette tax that got shot down, which was supposed to be for education.
Right.
So was that supposed to replace kind of the funds that we've been shorted on or not?
I don't know that they would earmark any of those. Okay. They were trying to just put money in the coffers to fulfill their obligations.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the income tax hike then helping them move forward with future obligations that they would have. They're also struggling in Springfield right now on the legislation regarding teacher evaluation and tenure. And so they've been sidetracked in what they're discussing at the moment. So we've heard nothing. It's been pretty quiet.
Okay,
shall we talk about the recommendation for the master facility plan?
Yeah, do we have...
I didn't make copies, but I could certainly ask Julia to run out and make us some copies of it. I have my copy, and I have your copy, Bob.
Oh, we're talking about the text.
The text.
So the Spalding stuff, we're going to deal with that.
Yeah, so while Julie's making copies, the...
I thought it was something that we had discussed previously, so I'm like, well, the date must
I just put that in there. I just put it in as a placeholder, knowing that that would be the next step. So when we met with Augie Battaglia and Ron Wright a couple weeks ago, they brought some old test fits they had done previously for some previous time. I think when the study was done, it's not the Blue Ribbon study, but the last master... Pardon me?
It was
what led to Hadley, with the 5-8.
What led to Hadley's 2007 solution was 2005 or 2006.
And they were talking about what they could do on Spalding and examining that. So they brought some of those drawings to just give us an idea. And then they were going to update those so that would show a four-section building on Spalding with no purchasing of anything beyond that piece of property. So you have the park district that is on that land, so you'll be able to see that. But we also asked them to show us as much information that would... be needed, such as access points, so where trucks can get in and make deliveries and that sort of thing, because that's obviously going to take up some of your space as well. So they'll have a couple different drawings for us to show a couple different layouts, possible layouts, and I just felt like we shouldn't be coming forward with a recommendation till we flesh that out and have that. And so if we can invite other board members, which I know is not always easy for everybody to make it here at 6 o'clock, to have that presentation with FGM, then we'll be able to have a discussion. I would think finish up we can have this report ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
All that would need to be done would be the summary of that meeting and whether or not any of the recommendations had changed.
Okay.
Whether they're still the same, which then could include a more specific Spalding recommendation for, whether it's a K-5 or a pre-K-5. I think it's, it'll be a four-section building, which means you could have two sections of kindergarten, two classrooms for kindergarten, two pre-K, basically. And they are putting in the integrated resource concept as well.
Okay. All right. So are you thinking that, well, I guess we'll wait and see what they look like. Are you thinking that that would eliminate Spalding from that possibility?
Well, I think that's a if you'd like my personal opinion, I could offer that. But I think...
I'd like to
But that's what it will be to show you and give you a chance to give feedback on that.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm missing a page one.
You're missing a page one?
I'm missing a page one.
First one's three and four.
Is it the end?
Didn't double side?
But no, it's they were out of order. The last page was the end of page one.
Okay? Yeah, so mine's okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, I've only got three. I've got three sheets of paper.
You should have four sheets of paper.
Either I lost.
Is that one right there?
No, this is the.
Oh.
Missing first.
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
I was just looking to see if I had more than one.
I think this was a well-written report.
Thank you. I followed Bob's outline for this, and we can walk through this and make some decisions about whether that format works, and talk about the revisions that you had suggested. Julie has provided some revisions. Phyllis gave me feedback on her ideas. And my suggestion would be at this point just to walk through what we have and see what you think. So I don't think either of you made any comments on the introduction. Phyllis made a suggestion in the introduction to add the explanation that the Master Facility Steering Committee was comprised of board members, staff members, and community members, so that it was clear it wasn't just a district committee, mm-hmm. that it was really a stakeholder committee. And Julie made a couple minor edits.
Is Kenwood on the steering committee?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
John Kenwood. John Kenwood and Bob Solak were board representatives. Mm-hmm. And
on the steering committee.
Well, it's all the same. The steering committee. Okay.
There was a select group.
There was the the leadership group or something. That was Jack Kaler.
Okay.
Jack Kaler, John Mulheron, Jim Burke, Debbie Richardson.
Okay.
And then Julie added a paragraph under background called history. And took it back to 2001, if you feel that's something that we should include. I can read it to you, sure. In 2001, the district began adding portable classrooms. It now has 32 portables installed among its five schools. In 2007, the district mounted a $40 million facilities referendum to create a 5-8 middle-level campus at Hadley and convert the elementary schools to right-sized K-4 or pre-K-4 schools. This proposal was decisively rejected by voters. Space issues remained, and the board and administration felt that it must start afresh to develop a long-range plan for appropriate facilities that could be supported by the community. So it really is an introduction to then the background mm-hmm. for the master facilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then the background information is pretty much there until we get to the three recommendations, which the recommendations I would probably just flesh out a little bit, making sure that we are very specific about what the A series is and what the B series is, so that people.
In the middle of page two.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is without any of my comments in there?
Yes, I just brought in, here are yours.
Okay. Now, I had...
You didn't make any comments.
My comments, I think, started at the...
page three, with the motion.
Right.
Yeah, and that's our next bit of discussion.
Okay. Oh, the three recommendations of the board. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Right.
I thought we were already...
No, we're not past that yet.
I'm like, wait.
So then, The next is going to the motion, and the question here would be, to what extent do we want that specificity in the motion? You deleted that, Bob?
Yeah, well, I deleted the whole Jack Taylor that failed, and then yada yada, and then because it was a failed motion.
Uh-huh.
So I figured let's just start with my motion that passed, and then I did want to keep the wording just so it's clear to the reader what the motion wording was. I think I copied that verbatim.
Yes, and I think it's verbatim in here too.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yeah.
Could I ask, why is it we want to eliminate Jack's motion?
Well, what...
I just
because it doesn't explain what the committee was charged with doing.
Okay.
Because technically the motion failed, so anything he proposed was rejected.
The question, and Julie raised this in her edits as well, and Julie, pipe in whenever I'm misstating. Do we want to put a context to why this motion, rather than putting the motion in directly, put a narrative in there that explains how this motion came to be and the lengthy discussions that the board had had, and sort of at a point of intersection that, you know, rather than actually putting the motion out there that failed, but maybe describing what happened preceding it being left in the hands of finance.
I mean, if we're just trying to get across that, you know, that there was a motion to basically stop any discussion, right? You know, and then the motion that passed was not to stop the discussion, but to move it to facilities and finance, so that it could continue moving forward. If that's what we're trying to get across, I mean, I see what the point is to keep that coming across, but I don't know. It's just why put it in there. I think we're all familiar with the situation, and I'm just trying to envision an outside reader. They're going to be like, all right, there was a motion, and then there was another motion. You know, why do I care about that first motion if what this report, if what the content of the report is all about is in response to the motion that passed, then I'm thinking that's the only motion that we should have the text in there for.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is fine. And then maybe just a short paragraph to explain the sort of the board's lengthy discussions over master facilities plan, and that we came to a point where we couldn't move forward as a full board on the two items that were really still on the table, which options to go forward and whether or not to purchase land,
so
or pursue the purchase of land.
So we removed Jack's motion,
but
then we put in
a descriptor,
context, or some narrative that talks about the long process leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand that.
And then leave Bob's motion
intact. I think it should be left intact.
That way someone who's reading can go, okay, point one, did they actually do this? Point two, did they do that? Point three, did they do that?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be clear what the purpose of the report, what the things that the report is supposed to hit.
Okay.
And so that they could determine whether or not we actually did what we were authorized to do.
Okay. Julie, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I mean, that explanation makes sense. I also was looking at it from the point of view of someone that was just maybe coming pretty cold to it, dimly aware that, you know, these conversations had taken place. And I've not seen a report that included a motion in it, you know, and so I didn't think it was a question that anybody would really have. And it sort of seemed a little out of whack to me to have the motion in there it made me wonder if there was, it made me wonder about things that I probably wouldn't want to be thinking about. I wanted to just pay attention to what the report said. So I would probably not include the motion, you know, verbatim like that at all, but rather just a general narrative about how it landed in finance and in general, you know, here's what it's going to do. And leave it at that. I understand what you're saying, though, that you want to be able to show that you met the obligations that were placed on
right.
the finance.
It's like a declaration of the objectives mm-hmm. of the report, or what the report is supposed to provide.
And I mean,
if we want to do that in a bullet list or something like that, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We can remove some of the motion language. We'd have to keep certain wording in there, discussing and analyzing various options, discussing and analyzing the advantages and disadvantages, We'd have to keep all that in there, but maybe lose the whole motion. I mean, there's got to be an explanation that a motion was made to have the Finance and Facilities Committee do X, Y, Z. Whether you need that to be the exact language of the...
I think if you put a narrative in a context and then follow up with the motion, I think it makes more sense.
Or if we said that the descriptor of how it, after lengthy discussion, it was determined it was going to move to finance for further analysis, and the outcomes of that analysis in finance would be, mm-hmm. bullet one, bullet two, bullet three, and we could just take motion type language out of there and keep the essence.
Right,
and
you could remove bullet three, I suppose. We included that in the motion to make sure we didn't leave anybody's opinions out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that needs to be. If we're gonna restate it in the way you just described, I don't think we need necessarily bullet three in there.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things I've heard everybody say is, what happens to someone who's reading this cold?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would want to make sure is that we've as much as possible answered questions about why it moved from a board why it moved from Master Facilities Committee recommendation to a full board discussion to just a finance discussion. I think you can leave the formality of it out, but try to weave the story then, mm-hmm. as it were, into how things progressed, and then the charge to the Finance Committee, which could be very specific to what your motion was, Bob.
Mm-hmm. I mean, then you're going to have to go into, I guess in that case, then you would keep Jack's, not keep Jack's motion in there, but there'd have to be some statement about,
I don't think so.
Do you want to say one board member?
No. I think we could say that after lengthy discussion, it was determined. I don't even think we have to say how it was determined or why it was determined. It was determined
okay.
that it would move to Finance Committee, and that the following bullets would be included in their study, or the following points.
Okay.
Should we go at it that way? Do some revision on that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Where did the okay. Yeah. It's in bullet one. I was like, where's the short term stuff? Short term, long term stuff is in there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then on page 4, the reference documents. There may be others. I don't know if you thought of any others to put in there. I only put those things in which we actually used this time around. And in the end, a reference document would be a test fit for Spalding mm-hmm. that we would add.
Is the MFP option analysis summary matrix, is that...
We could put that in there.
It, mm-hmm. Well, that's in there. But is it of which matrix do you mean? Is it the one that you literally pull out of the mass MFP documents, or is it the one that we created as a board?
The one that we created as a board.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm understanding the reference.
Mm-hmm. Then the design objectives. Came straight from that June 24th document, Bob, that you created.
Right. Oh, sorry, one step back. Mm-hmm. The comment in here was the master facility documents 09 or 08? They were presented in the board in 09, I thought.
The spring of 09, but we started in the fall of 08.
Right. So that reference to the documents, should it be 08 or 09, I guess is the question. Just 2008 master facility documents. Are they dated? I didn't look at my binders. Or I don't know when they're dated.
They are dated. That's the date on them.
Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm. I'll go back and double check, but I believe the spirals, you're talking about the long spirals,
yeah.
I believe they say 2008 on them.
Right. Okay. It was just presented to the board. Committee presented
the
recommendation to the board.
Okay.
Okay, so design objectives.
Where does that put you?
4 of 8 on mine.
Mm-hmm. It's confusing because you've got
it. Yeah, it's a formatting.
It breaks.
So, yeah, we would. I mean, obviously, draft. We would have to fix that up.
Okay.
Now. I had a strike through on that could be used. Is there a reason? And then I had said the design objective design. It developed, and I added the. It developed the design objectives, which, and then I struck could be used for the creation of. And so I'm basically saying it developed the design objectives, which the different options studied in the community's analysis were to meet. And then I added at the end. So I'm just. What I'm getting at is these objectives aren't something that we could use. It was objectives that we wanted each of the options to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed, because could means you could, you know, disallow, well, we're not going to worry about elimination of portables in this option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I wanted, my understanding was we wanted every option to hit these objectives. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Looking for your language. I've mixed my copies now.
I didn't rename the file.
Yeah, you've just taken that out, the and were to me. That's fine. Julie suggested that selection criteria and design objectives could perhaps be combined into a single section rather than two separate sections, since there is an overlap. And I think the original segregation of those two was in your report
mm-hmm.
to the board.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at it kind of in when we do, you know, feasibility studies. We have objectives mm-hmm. for the options that the design options have
mm-hmm.
to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're reviewing them, these are the criteria we're going to
mm-hmm.
review them on. So, like, we've got, you know, assume we had an enrollment number, right? We were going to assume for these different options. It didn't come into play very much in our deliberations, but that was just a design objective. So when you're, but it's not really a criteria. I mean, you kind of just proceed when you're screening under the assumption that it meets, you know, the objectives, with
mm-hmm.
the exception of the do-nothing option
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the other criteria, I guess, that we...
Could we take selection criteria out as a category and just use the language up there. That so after the listing of the objectives, then just use the language. The criteria for screening the options remains the same as used.
The section header.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since it's just basically a sentence or two, mm-hmm. and just do design objectives and selection criteria as one heading.
Okay, yeah. Just a tense in that selection criteria per sentence.
Mm-hmm. I would take the word out, too. I used your language exactly. I just lifted it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Because I was writing it at the beginning.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, and so I just lifted it so that we could see what this looks like, and I think the language.
I think includes should probably be mm-hmm. included. Past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question was on the objectives. The certain dollar amount to be
mm-hmm.
determined,
mm-hmm.
that's something that we had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember $70 million.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was $100 million.
Was it $100? Okay. It could be $100. I honestly don't remember.
I vaguely remember it was $100, and I thought that was a big number.
Well, yeah. But I guess that's the... Now, this is for the long-term... I guess this the option would cost less than enter your dollar amount here. And that would, since the option is a long-term option, this isn't, we're going to run out for a $100 million referendum. This is just saying this option is going to cost less than $100 million. So something like knocking down every building and rebuilding it would cost more than $100,000, so we'd eliminate it, right?
Right.
So we had, when I wrote the document that this is lifted from, we hadn't decided what that amount was. And I know we talked about it, but my question is, did we decide on it? Because we need to put that number in there.
Well, are you interested in deciding on it tonight?
Yeah, I thought we talked about it already. Drew, you remember $100 million?
I thought that was the red face number.
Okay.
What do you remember?
I remember talking about 100. I remember talking about 70. So, I mean, I guess it's a long-term cost, so to speak. So, I mean, 100 million I'm okay with if we agree upon that.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the enrollment number.
Well, I'd like to suggest a change on that
mm-hmm.
to...
what page are we on?
Same under the objectives. Assumes... an enrollment number at individual schools of four sections at each grade level, and Hadley at 1,200.
So a maximum four section
yeah,
school?
Yeah. Because I think when you start putting numbers into, you know, this every school will house 600 students, then when a school houses 550 but all of your classrooms are taken,
mm-hmm.
You create this, well, you should have a whole nother, at least one other classroom, maybe two classrooms if you have classes of 25. But in fact, the way the students fall and the way the numbers fall, that's not what it is. So I think that a four-section building means you'd have four at each grade level, and that is an average size school.
And that doesn't bind us in any way? It's not a confining... constraining concept?
Well, it assumes that your buildings will be designed for and able to house four sections. Now, if you have three sections at one grade level and six at another, you're obviously going to have to configure your school mm-hmm. to meet that need. If your school grows to such an extent that you have five sections at every grade level, you're back to portables or a boundary change. I mean, you know, but rather than putting a school size number on it, I think you're safer in the long run by determining what the size of your building is based on the number of sections you would have. Because student enrollments aren't neat packages, and mm-hmm. they fluctuate. So,
well, is it possible? I know we've eliminated all the A's, But if we had stuck with the A series, we wouldn't have been able to go with just four section schools, right?
Mm-hmm. You would have gone with four section schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we have right now? We have some five sections.
We do. But we have some three sections. You know, I mean, I don't know that you it's confining in some respects, but you're going to ultimately build your building or add to your building based on that kind of design conversation, not an enrollment conversation.
And what is Forest Glen minus the portables, is that a three-section school?
Yes.
It is. So we would have to allow for, like if we built a new school, K-5, you know, and we were able to draw enough, you know, redraw the boundaries so that Forest Glen could be a three-section school.
And if that was your choice,
right,
then
we need to craft this language to allow that.
Yeah, and either way, you don't want to have then an enrollment number. You could do a general enrollment number in the district, which I think you agreed at 3,600.
36.
I think I remember 37 because we said, well, we're 36 now, so we have to go.
Give us 100 more.
Yeah, we have to go a little bit higher.
Yeah.
So if we did just assumes an enrollment number at the district of 3,700.
Uh-huh.
And left it at that, if you want the flexibility to have your buildings reflect either the size of the footprint so that you can have smaller schools or that you're going to add to meet the needs of the population when you're ready to build at that time.
Uh-huh. And I seem to remember 400 and 650 as being the individual schools, which would be what, a three-section and a four-section?
Mm-hmm.
It's 4,650.
Yeah, it is. But you would when you think about that, you're building. You'd be thinking 650. You probably would want to house 600.
Okay, but it would have the it depends on where the kids fall.
Mm-hmm.
But a four section could hold 650 in theory.
Yes.
But in practice, it might not be able to.
Correct. Which is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then what did you say about Hadley?
1,200.
Which is what it is now.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to see Hadley get too much bigger. I mean, you may not be able to avoid that, but
right.
If you built to house 1,200, you'd be adding a tremendous amount of space there.
Well, we're at 1,200 with, 10 portables?
With 10 portables, mm-hmm.
So we'd be talking about at least 10 classrooms.
We don't have 10 portables at Hadley, do we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Six, you have the four originals, and then the six classrooms.
Okay.
It's two buildings, but 10 classrooms.
Okay, so
plus your infrastructure needs would change, you know. Mm-hmm. But we've sort of talked about that, a new, you know, a cafetorium or a new arena for performance, something that accommodates, you know, more students, more capacity in your music rooms. You know, we right now are bursting at the seams in our band and orchestra rooms because of the number of students who want to participate. So,
and the pod.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pods and the band room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, you could go to 1,300, but you're adding your extra 100 students there, then.
So for the elementary schools, we're doing sections, but you want to do a number for Hadley.
And I would, if you're not going to do a generic kind of four-section building at each elementary, or maybe no larger than a four-section building.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
because
then it gives you a chance to make it smaller if you like.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if we had a large parcel capable of a five-section?
Well, you could make. I mean, that's another choice about whether or not you want a building that big.
Yeah. That's a.
Because that takes you up to that 750 mark, and.
I mean, you might build it for that size, but you wouldn't plan on filling it?
No, that's not a good idea.
Because, you know, if you ever got a bubble, then you'd have space, you know, rather than trying to shoehorn and bring out more portables.
Well, just the feedback from 89 right now, which is what they're doing, basically is new students who move into the district who may need to be assigned or should be assigned to School A are being assigned to School B because that's where there's space. It's not... it's having an impact on the real estate market.
Yeah.
I just think if we're mixing our...
So assumes our an enrollment...
So if we're talking sections in elementary, we should have an equivalent...
But sections doesn't really apply at Hadley. I guess that's the problem.
No.
But it's got to be...
From a scheduling standpoint.
I think you can have those two things be different. If you say the assumes an enrollment of 3,700 at the district level and at the school level, I'd make those two different actually objectives.
Okay.
You know, assumes an enrollment number of 3,700 at the district level, then the next criteria could be assumes no larger than four section buildings at the elementary schools and an enrollment no larger than 1,200 students or 1,250 or something like that.
Give yourself some wriggle room.
Mm-hmm. Bob, how do you feel about that? Separating those two.
Okay, I mean, that's not much more than what we do at Hadley now, I guess.
It's not. Would you like to take it up to 1,300?
Yeah.
And so your extra 100 students in the district are at Hadley, based on that 3,700?
Potentially, right.
But you build to that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if you had them, they were eventually maybe going to get there, and there might be a bubble.
I'm wondering if the district-wide enrollment number is really worthless. Right?
Yeah, but you have to have a basis. I think you've got to have a basis. I mean,
if you've got a bubble moving through your junior high, people would say, well, shoot, your enrollment's 3,700 or less, and you said this wouldn't be a problem for you. And now you got to throw portables up there. What's your what'd you do wrong?
Well, I mean, but I still think you have to have a baseline. You have to something to start with, and then manage through that.
Okay, here's a crack at that. Assumes elementary schools of four section grade levels.
Of
no more than four section grade levels and a junior high to adequately house 1,300 students.
Okay.
So that would become number four.
But you didn't say the total enrollment.
Well, it's basically a capacity number. You could house 1,300 students at that school without going to portables.
But we don't say what the total number is. Because originally you had said enrollment of X.
Oh, that's the bullet. That's the number above it. Assumes an enrollment in the district of 3,700.
Okay, sorry.
Then the next number would be assumes elementary schools of no more than four section grade levels and a junior high to adequately house 1,300 students.
Isn't that the same concept? I mean, wouldn't that just be one bullet?
Well, I think it's it could. It just seems like sort of lengthy, and you've got a bunch of different ideas in that one.
Okay.
But we can play with that. I mean, if we agree with the content.
Yeah, I'm good with the content.
Then we can play with the language on that.
But I'm not married in one way or the other.
Okay. Bob, are you comfortable with the language?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll either bring it back as one number, which it is currently. Or two, if we think clarity is better served. And then the last one, the option meets an educational objective currently named the 21st Century Learning. Do we want to...
Don't have any change there.
Well, do we want to take the currently... the 21st century learning environment meets the educational objective of the identified 21st century learning environment or something instead of currently named?
Yeah, we're going to really currently named.
Okay. We could even just say the option meets the educational objectives for the 21st century learning environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, we never did... You know, that was always kind of the one hanging out there that we really needed to... Is it IR? Is it not IR? What does it mean? And we don't have anything, I guess, in the report explaining that. I mean, the other ones are pretty straightforward. But... Do we need something to explain in here our definition of it?
I thought we had a.
You have the working definition of the 21st century learning environment that the board was provided.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you have to go in and recreate that in this document as long as it's an attached document.
Okay.
The other thing is when you start really thinking about designing a new school and 21st century learning environment, there are going to be lots and lots of other pieces. I would think that working definition would be a document we would use as a starting point with groups. And from there, build from that. Because I think the concepts for the 21st century learning are clear in that definition.
Mm-hmm.
But the specificity behind it would best be developed by educators, by, you know, architects, by people in a community group who want to, you know, participate in having some insight into that.
Okay.
I mean, what's the 21st century learning performing arts area?
Right.
What's the 21st century cafetorium? You know,
I guess
those kinds of things. I think
the real impact on that, it doesn't, I guess I don't see it in the affecting, I mean, if we were going to build a new building, of course we're going to do that. If the major effect is what does it require you to do to
mm-hmm.
the existing schools?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so that's why I'm thinking that definition, you know, can we define it?
What can we define
What can we define in terms of facilities?
Well,
can we define it in like three lines?
Or retrofitting existing facilities. What does it mean to the existing facilities? I guess is the $100 million question.
Well, and here's, in this criteria or this objective, I don't think you have to define it. In your recommendation, you have looked at your recommendation, which is a bigger, more global recommendation,
mm-hmm.
based on what you would perceive as the potential to do that. So it's because you've gone with the B series, then you know that your first step is to build new,
mm-hmm.
allowing you to do exactly that. But then as you, what your commitment here is that for each of your other buildings, you would look at that as something that can be done versus some of the other options where you eliminated the A series because in order to accomplish that objective, the costs would be too high.
Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially saying we can do much of that with our existing buildings and retrofitting or reconfiguring that sort of thing. Because you did talk about, you know, how do we create IR? How do we create flexible spaces where maybe, you know, rooms are adjoined or, you know, what would be the actual change, physical changes within buildings in order to meet that 21st century? So you have talked about that, and I think if you go back to the document, there are some very specific bullets. We could pull those out and put them in here. Or just reference that here.
Yeah, I'm just... I'm kind of torn as to whether to just leave the document, reference document as it is, or whether we need to pull it out.
Well, if you...
Because then it highlights only the issues about 21st century
right.
learning that has to do with
right.
the particular facility.
I think you're pulling out one of your objectives from the rest, and you already have gone through that as you've analyzed each of the options. So it's no different than going back and looking at some of the other options and saying, well, here, when we looked at it will cost less than $100,000, what was that criteria? Well, tear down. You know, do you have to get specific then if you're going to tear down portions of buildings and rebuild? Or
so we can just reference that in the prior section.
Yeah. Yeah, along with, and you know, I don't know that we've got that listed in the background material either. Our more recent financial figures, I don't know if I put that in. Yeah, the 2010 master facility update is that references the specificity around numbers. So it's no different than the 21st century working definition.
Okay. I guess we'll just leave it in the reference document.
Is that okay?
So we're going to reference it then.
Yeah, it's already referenced.
It's already referenced earlier in the...
I wasn't sure if we needed, because it was such a... It was the most nebulous objective that we needed to call out special. Okay. So we're through the alternatives.
To the alternatives. And one suggestion that I would make to make this a little bit more readable would be to put the... screening information side by side with the options so that it reads A1, here's what the option was, here's what happened to it. Mm. Kept or not kept, rather than having to refer back and
forth. You know what, that's probably a good idea.
Right.
I like that.
Every proofreader made that suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Bob, you had a couple comments on
the next section.
Yeah, on the screening. It was on the alternatives rejected. You wanted us to add, it does not create the educational spaces that need the 21st century learning. So that's a good addition there.
Do we need to add... Well, I guess at this point, this is only commenting on why we rejected them.
Pardon me?
Are we going to include... We are going to include the matrix, right? Now, is it going to be the matrix that the whole board did, or is it going to be the matrix that we kind of... We took that matrix and then expanded on it?
Do you want the whole matrix?
I'm just wondering, would the pros and would the pros of A1 be somewhere in the document?
If you'd like them to be.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
I mean, that's
that
what
matrix is an attachment.
It's referenced here as the MFP option analysis summary matrix.
Right, right. And I'm wondering if we should. I think we should attach that.
Okay.
Making an attachment or appendix to the report.
Okay, I have only one comment on that.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a public document,
you
know, board members who completed that did so with the understanding it was a working document among board members. There's some filtering that didn't occur. I mean, people used...
Okay.
People didn't use language that was inappropriate. I'm not saying that, but... I think people were very were very informal in their language.
There were some very absolute comments.
Yes.
Okay, so
maybe we can
filter them.
Yes.
And then would that then not be the same as the reference? Then would it be, you know?
Well, what I could do with the pros and cons would be to remove repetition, because in the pros and cons, as they're stated. There's repetition because everybody's comments were in there.
Right.
So we can remove repetition and smooth out the caps.
Let's do that. I'm just wondering then, does it then not become the document reference? Is it kind of a... Does it then become a table produced by this committee, you know, synthesizing the reference?
So we could title it. We could give it a new title called the...
called table one or whatever, you know,
it could just be called the MFP option analysis summary. I think it's fine. It's still titled the summary matrix.
And I'm just wondering if we shouldn't be referencing a working document anyway, right? If someone can't say, oh, give me this, come into your office and say, give me this reference, and we can't give it to them. We probably shouldn't have it in here.
But that's what I'm saying. I think it's fine to have that document in there. I think when people are writing with the assumption that it is a working document among mm-hmm. colleagues, it's a little different than writing something that you...
So I think everyone would be on board with a synthesis of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, we're not going to take anything substantively out of that. And there was nothing in there that was inappropriate or...
Right, and there were no names associated.
Oh, no, yeah.
You can tell that when you're reading it that there were six different people putting in multiple
comments. So we'll just clean that up a little.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we got all the pros and
pros
in there.
No, I think that's I think that's a good idea. Okay. Then, Bob, I think you had another comment.
Yeah, H6.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought that the initial screening we retained it, but we rejected it later.
Which one was that?
Completing major renovations for each school, significant disruptions, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I...
The way this reads, we eliminated all the A's right off the bat.
Well,
and that wasn't the case. I know we had one A lingering around for a while.
We did. That is correct. But
it
was six until the last meeting. But do we want to? I would then change just initial screening and take that out, and do alternatives rejected.
Because we retained.
Because
all we had before.
Otherwise, you're going to have this go. You can't do a side by side. If you do, well, we've kept this till the very end. And we could put in the language here, this option was retained until the very last screening, or very last analysis, and just add it in there. But I wouldn't say kept it and then do it again. And
okay, yeah, let's add the language
okay.
that it was
kept until the very
not
end.
Not screened out initially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said A6 or A7, you added, and is considered cost prohibitive, which is good language to add. And B1, you added that cost prohibition as well.
Are we on page 7?
I'm on page 7, correct. And on B3,
mm-hmm.
you added.
Yeah, I thought that was one that we retained also after the initial.
Oh, so this is another one to keep to right. mention retained. Okay.
Which one is it? I'm sorry.
B3, where the so oh, B1 and yeah. B or A
six.
And B3, we will reference that those options were retained until the very last moment.
Or retained until
till the end.
Further analysis.
Mm-hmm. Till the final analysis.
Okay. And then the question of B4, we're going to kind of take up next time. Right. We'll discuss
correct.
Action
B4 mm-hmm.
a bit more
mm-hmm.
next meeting.
Mm-hmm. So you had no further suggestions on yours. And Drew, I think we addressed all of your
right.
suggestions earlier.
We still need to write our recommendations.
That is correct. So I'm wondering, February 7th will be... We can write the recommendations, and I can write them now as they stand, mm-hmm. which includes three options. I just didn't because I thought we should have a discussion here to determine whether or not you want to wait to see whether you change your mind after you see Spalding, or if...
I would write at least two of the three now.
Which is a new piece of property?
Yeah.
And not include the Spalding?
New K-5, new
mm-hmm.
Middle school. And renovated Hadley.
Okay.
Those
are considered long term.
Well,
I mean, I don't think we've broken this down into long-term and short-term.
Yeah, I guess those are the options that we've selected for long-term. And I think the short-term now grows out of those recommendations and what should the board do.
Regarding pursuit of property.
So there's the pursuit of property, and that is, you know, what's our recommendation around that? We had a list, I think we were throwing ideas out at our last meeting. Did you capture those ideas anyway? Because they don't get held in here.
Well, they don't get held in here either.
Somebody's got to write it down.
I don't recall.
We were throwing out things like property. You know, what should our short-term recommendation? What should the board do next? And it was, okay, go out and search the district for a large parcel.
Right, right.
You know, consider a policy.
Oh, here, I got them.
Okay. And, I know, I thought I remember you writing them down.
One was make a recommendation about pursuit of land acquisition. Mm-hmm. To start a search for purchase of land, whether to purchase land with fund using current fund balances.
Mm-hmm.
Conduct a new demographic study.
Mm-hmm.
And determine design criteria for K568 serving 3,700 students.
Okay. I think it's those other three.
Long-term plan,
right.
Phasing.
I think there were only those three.
There's really those two. If you put both of them, to start a search for land acquisition,
mm-hmm.
make a recommendation about whether or not to use fund balances to purchase land and conduct a new demographic study. So mm-hmm. I guess three, if you don't combine one and two. Okay.
And those are short-term.
Mm-hmm. Long-term is the development of a phased-in plan for building,
mm-hmm.
the building projects.
Yeah.
I'm going to say building renovation plan.
The demographic study, new or updated, I guess.
Yeah.
And Steve had some recommendations about what he thought he wanted to see a little bit different. Basically, you know, don't just grab the birth rate data for
right.
all of Lombard.
Right.
You know, can you look at the areas of Lombard we've got and determine, you know, based on maybe the type of housing?
Yeah, disaggregate our particular areas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we will go ahead and get that written and off to you.
Okay.
So that you'll be able to see it prior to the 7th, and then we'll adjust as necessary after the 7th,
okay.
which will be pretty easy to do.
So theoretically, we should be able to present on the 7th.
No, that.
I think you're going
to the meeting after that, because we're going
to
CFGM stuff at the 7th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the meeting after the 7th, we can present.
Which I believe is the 21st.
The board, okay.
I believe. It's the 21st.
I think you're right.
7th is 20. Okay. Oh, I'm so glad you remembered that I wrote this.
We're so close.
I remember thinking at the time, good, I don't have to remember these.
And it's a good thing I can read what I wrote. I mean, that I actually remember the notes. Okay. Good.
Any other finance issues? Or should we close?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.